Opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not reflect those of KVOR, Cumulus Media, or its advertisers.
I'm American made by the Lord Chevrolet. My mama taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
All right, happy Sunday, friends. This is AM 740 KVOR, Michelle Morin, telling you what big media won't. And as usual, there's so much to tell you that impacts you directly, and big media has not done its job. Once again, we're going to start off the show tonight with kind of a public service announcement, because big media is not going to tell you. Did you know that there was a Muslim who live recorded himself on Facebook on April 9th here in the United States? This happened in South Dakota. He was brandishing his very significant arsenal. He was sitting in a parking lot outside of a Christian conference in South Dakota. I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that. I am beside myself about the O'Reilly debacle at Fox News. Absolutely beside myself. This is a real problem. And I'm going to take a risk, and I'm going to look at it from the angle of the woman's angle and the guy's angle. And then I'm going to tell you what I really think is going on here. And I think you already know. So I'm going to save that for after my little public service announcement here. And we're going to talk about, yesterday was Earth Day. Did you celebrate Earth Day? Did you think it's this benign, sweet, little precious day where we learn about picking up extra trash and throwing it away and recycling our plastic so we don't fill the landfills? Well, sadly, that's not what it's about, although what I just mentioned is a good and steward type thing to do. That's not what Earth Day is about, not at all. So, and you know big media is not going to tell you either, but your faithful big media exposer here tonight is going to share that with you. But first, let's take a trip to South Dakota. Back on April 9th, now, before I tell you this, I did a search online about the story I'm about to tell you. Not a single big media outlet covered it. Not a single one. The originator of the story is, as usual, Pam Geller. She breaks so many stories about Islam in America and around the world. But credit where credit's due. She takes great risk, and there's a price on her head. And she continues to expose what's going on. And I did a lot of research. I did want to see, before I went mouthing off, big media did not cover this. This is huge. Here's what happened. On April 9th, in a town in South Dakota, there was a Christian conference going on. About 500 people were in attendance. It was men, women, and children. And one of the keynote speakers and organizers is a man named Sharam. Let's see where his first name is. Sharam Hadian. Sharam is a former Muslim from Iran. His dad was a high-ranking military official in the Iranian military, and he saw what was going on. And 6 weeks before the fall of the Shah in 1979, the Hadian family fled Iran. Well, now today, Sharam is a Christian and a pastor. And he bravely goes around the country talking about the threat of Islam. That's what he does. So he was on tour, and his first, I don't know if his first stop, it was one of five stops, was Sioux Falls. And so this was a private event, and 500 folks in attendance. Well, it turns out that about a week before this event, there was an Islamic group in Sioux Falls, and the newspaper reported that this Islamic group was mentioning the Christian conference on April 9th in the context of hate crimes. And the newspaper reported this, and this Islamic group mentioned the speakers, Sharam and another one, and said that they were part of a prejudicial undercurrent that inspires fear among ethnic minorities nationwide. Okay, so a week before April 9th, about 10 days before, this Islamic event was going on. And then on April 9th, the Christian event was going on. Now, the organizers of the Christian event were informed by the Sioux Falls Police Department that the Islamic Center had filed for a permit to protest outside of their event. So they got a permit to file, and apparently there were about 70 protesters. And but here's what happened. A guy named Ibar, where's his name? I'd say it's Muhammad, but it's not. Ihab, sorry about that. Ihab Abdumada Jaber, all right? This guy goes into the Christian conference, and he's wearing a T-shirt. The T-shirt reads, "I am an American. I am a Muslim. I open carry and concealed carry. I am only dangerous if you are stupid." Okay, that's what he's wearing. And it turns out he was, at that very moment when he was inside the conference, he had a concealed carry on him. And based on the audio I'm going to share with you, I think he probably had an open carry on him too. Not sure. That hasn't actually been explicitly stated. But when I share with you what he did afterward, you might think that he did. But what he did was he pulled out his a camera, supposedly his phone, I would guess. And he starts filming the event. And he's got a Quran in his hand, and he's filming the Quran, and then he lifts up his camera and starts filming the event. And one of the rules of the event was no cameras, no videotaping, no footage can be recorded. So the event organizers had hired four undercover police officers to be their security, and when they saw this Ihab filming, they escorted him out. Well, it turns out he went into his vehicle and did what is becoming the trend. He put himself on a live Facebook stream and started showing the world his arsenal of weapons. And he pulls out, I think it was three or four pistols. He had, it appeared to be maybe two or three high caliber pistols, one on his hip. He had a smaller caliber pistol in a holster on his leg under his pants, so that was a concealed carry. He had a box that he opened up and shared yet another high caliber pistol. Then he shared two rifles with the audience, the live audience. All right, so he's sitting in his car, live streaming, and I'm going to share with you clips of the audio, what he was saying during the live streaming. So while he's talking and muttering threats against you, quote unquote, you and me, he's showing the world this arsenal. So let's hear from Ihab.
So I'm kind of speechless here, man. The parking lot is full of people parking on top of each other, yardware, whatever the that place is parked, that's full too. And you know, there's about probably 400 people in there, if not maybe 500. You have your weapons with you. You know, if you want to be really scared.
So now he's showing off his weapons.
Be scared.
Showing off all his weapons. Telling you and me to be scared.
Be scared.
I'm not rewinding this. This is him repeating himself.
Be scared.
Yep.
Be terrified. Fucking terrified. And the ammo to boot. Right here.
Now he's showing off his ammo.
That's how I travel.
That's how
I travel. All of y'all. This is just f***ing bullshit.
All right. So there he goes. So little bit disturbing, do you think? I'm thinking so. It's not only is this disturbing that this guy walked in and clearly, if he didn't have intention of pulling something off at that moment, he's ready. He's ready. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having an arsenal. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with concealed carry, open carry, whatever you want to carry. That's not the point. The point is, he's wearing on his shirt very clearly who he is and what he's about. And he went into this Christian conference, was not allowed to film, was escorted out, and got really agitated because there are 400 people in there, and they're saying that he looked at the books on the table. You know, you go to these events and there's always books, resources on the table before you go in. And you know what they were. They were the threat of Islam, all kinds of things like that. So it clearly agitated him further. Now, if the left covered this, you know what they would say is the Christian conference brought it on themselves. But the left didn't cover this in any way, shape, or form. My friends, this stuff is going on, and we're not hearing about it. We'll talk more about that in just a moment.
You're listening to The Michelle Morin Show on 740 KVOR. Depend on it.
Okay, give me a call at 719-540-0740 for any feedback. Tell me what you think about big media's lack of coverage on this very real threat to 500 people in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So before the break, I shared with you the audio what this man, Ehab, was saying after he got escorted out of the Christian conference and showing off his arsenal. It was 3 pistols, 2 rifles, and a lot of ammo. And it wasn't just that he had it. It's that he was agitated and throwing out threats. Let's hear him again in case you missed it before.
Scared. Be scared.
Be scared.
Be terrified.
Be effing terrified.
Fucking terrified.
Okay. That went on for a couple of minutes. He's in his car. He's live streaming this on Facebook. And he's reaching in the back of his car, pulling out the latest, another firearm, and telling you and me to be scared. And he just repeated it over and over again. Be scared, be terrified, be effing terrified. And how angry he was, and his shirt alone basically made the threat that I'm only dangerous if you're stupid. So this is a loaded cannon waiting to explode, and there are 500 people inside that he's angry about because they obviously don't follow the jihad rules that he wants them to. And as I said before, Pam Geller looks like she's the one who broke this. The organizers actually called local police, and they were told not to file a case. And trying to find my notes there. They were told not to file a case. Finally, they got in touch with the FBI through a friend of a friend kind of a thing. And the FBI visited this guy, and then pressure was put on the South Dakota Attorney General. And he was finally arrested. And charged with terrorism. Looks like he was only arrested, though, on Friday, this last Friday. So he's been, walking around since April 9th with this live Facebook recording, and you haven't heard a word of it on big media. Not a word. Isn't this something that you would consider an imminent threat to our safety? Isn't this something that we should know about? Oh, no, Michelle. That's going to cause Islamophobia. And we can't go fostering Islamophobia. He's just a deranged lone wolf. Well, let's go over to Fresno, California. There was a killing this week, and yes, it was an act of terrorism, but not only did big media downplay it, the local authorities did too. A guy named Corey Taylor. That's his name, Corey Taylor, all right? That's his name on his birth certificate. Changed it to Corey Taylor Muhammad. He is black and he hates white people. He's posted on Facebook how badly he hates white people. And last week he went on a shooting spree in Fresno, killed 3 people, injured 2 more. And do you know what he said when he was done shooting? Can you guess what he said when he was done shooting? 3 guesses. He said, he shouted out, Allahu Akbar. Okay? Changed his name to Muhammad. Shouted out Allahu Akbar. I want to tell you how far big media went to conceal this guy and the local authorities. The Associated Press, can you guess what they said about it? They wrote their first story, and they noted that Muhammad said those words in Arabic, but they reported it and translated it as God is great. Why did they do that? Oh, okay, it takes the spotlight off of the Islamic emphasis, and he just sounds like one of those Christians, one of those extreme Christians who's just worshiping their God. He can't be Islamic. Well, the AP got pounced on for that. They actually had to come out, and they tweeted that, quote, we deleted a tweet about a Fresno slaying suspect, okay, not a terrorist suspect, shouting, God is great. It failed to note that he said it in Arabic. A new tweet is coming. So they really didn't even correct it. They still repeated their original narrative in their acknowledgement that they didn't say it in the words that the guy used. And they still won't call it a terrorist attack. You know, the authorities came out, the police came out, and they said this was a hate crime. Police Chief Jerry Dyer came out in a news conference and he said, quote, this is not a terrorist-related crime. This is solely based on race. Because all the victims were white men and because the guy hates white people. Excuse me, but are terrorism and hatred of white people mutually exclusive? I don't think so. I don't think so. Why are they hiding this? And when the guy changes his last name to Muhammad, wake up! The guy is Islamic. You don't change your name to Muhammad and shout Allahu Akbar when you're done doing your killing spree and you're just committing a hate crime. This is a huge disservice to our safety, my friends. Let's pretend that Islamic terrorism does not exist. It's just hate. Along the lines of those Christian people who do the same thing, they hate because he shouted, God is great, just like the Christians do. That's the translation, right? This is insane. I think big media's got blood on their hands. The authorities, I think, have blood on their hands. This is not something to be taken lightly. This is something that the culture needs to know about. We need to be able to protect ourselves. We need to be aware of our surroundings. We need to be aware of who's around us. And the guy in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, what if that had been anyone else? Let's just say, for argument's sake, it was a white guy who went into a mosque and got escorted out. And then the white guy was in his car live streaming on Facebook with his t-shirt saying, I'm only dangerous when you're stupid and I'm a white Protestant or whatever. And he's saying, be terrified, be scared, be effing terrified, brandishing all his arsenal. The guy would be plastered over every big media outlet in the country and even out of the country, because that's big media for you. But no, because he's clearly Islamic, shh, we're not going to talk about that. Shh. Okay, we'll be back with more about what big media just won't tell you.
You're listening to Michelle Morin on 740 KVOR.
All right, I'm at 719-540-0740. Give me a call if you have some feedback on this. I've been talking about my own public service announcement. I'll call it a public safety announcement. There was an Islamic guy who was upset about a Christian conference in Sioux Falls, Idaho, went out to his car after going in and being asked to leave because he's not allowed to film, and he live streams a video of himself brandishing his very well-supplied and stocked arsenal in his car, telling all of us we need to be very afraid, very effing terrified, and his shirt says, you know, I'm American, I'm a Muslim, I carry conceal, I carry open, and I only will shoot. I'm only dangerous if you're stupid. So clearly a threat. He did finally get arrested. This happened on April 9th. He got arrested on charges of terrorism on Friday, this last Friday. Interestingly enough, the organizers are blaming the media for fanning the flames of what happened. And I tend to agree with him, because the local paper did report that 10 days prior to the Christian conference, there was a local Muslim community that had a panel, and they were talking about hate crimes and mentioned that the Christian conference was coming to town. So you've got at least someone in media. I don't know if I'd call local media big media, but they did fan the flames. I tend to agree with the organizer. But then the rest of the world media said nothing of it. We live in really dangerous times, my friends. We've got to be aware, and big media is not going to help us. You and I are the villains in the eyes of big media. And everyone else is, anyone who proclaims to be a victim, except for you and me, is a victim. So, like I said, if this had been a white guy going into an Islamic mosque, coming out and angry and agitated, live-streamed himself, brandishing his arsenal, it would have been all over the place. All over the place. To me, big media has blood on their hands when they are not willing to share these stories. It's a direct threat to the safety of you and me. It's unconscionable. And then over in Fresno, we have a man whose name is actually Corey Taylor, changed to Corey Taylor Muhammad. And this last week, he killed three people, three white people, and injured two more before giving up and shouting, Allahu Akbar. And the local police are saying this was based on hate and that it wasn't terrorist related. That's a flat out lie. Why are local authorities helping this Islamic agenda to suppress what it is? As far as the left cares about, this doesn't exist. It's just all about hate. And why do they say that? Because they want to classify you and me as perpetrators of hate crime, and they want to lump us in with the evil that's done by Islamic folks against the innocent, by Islamic terrorists against the innocent. They want to make you and me terrorists. Jason, my producer over the break, had a comment I'm going to share. The AP would not quote the Fresno murderer as saying Allahu Akbar. Instead, they translated it into God is great. Then they came out and tweeted a pseudo admission, not even an apology. It was kind of a pseudo admission, and said, yeah, we deleted a tweet about a Fresno slaying suspect shouting, God is great. It failed to note that he said it in Arabic. A new tweet is upcoming. Jason had a good point. He said that was really patronizing. And it was. They just came out and reiterated the same baloney and same garbage and, you know, patronized you and me who were upset that they wouldn't tell the truth and, you know, pat us on the head. Good little readers. You're right. That's what we said, and we acknowledge it. We'll tweet something else new soon. Unbelievable. We've got Jerry on the line. Hi, Jerry. This is Michelle.
Hi, honey.
At AM 740. How are you?
I'm good.
What are
I'm
you thinking good. About all this?
Oh, well, as a Christian, I can't use some of the words I'd like to use, but I do want to say something about, I think that the men that we have in the United States anymore need to stand up and grow some, because they're leaving all of this to the women. It's only women that I hear that are out there complaining about how they're letting these Muslims get by with these things, how they're letting them get by with the, like, Ann Coulter's going to go to Berkeley. And she was denied going because there was going to be such riots.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they had the idea that the money would be taken away from Berkeley, then they had her, told her she could come back. Of course, I don't know how it's going to work out. I think we all should pray for her, because I think she's gutsy, and I think that she's going there to prove a point that we do have the right to speak our piece, whether they like it or not.
You know, so you're right, and it begs the question, and I talked about this last week, what do you do as the left and the protesters escalate and keep escalating, and it's now it's at a place of violence, and it's not safe. And you're right. Somebody does need to grow a pair and stand up and knock it off. Why isn't someone doing that? You're right. Why is Ann Coulter going to the event and standing up and saying, you know, too bad, so sad, I'm going to do it anyway. And I'm going to, you know, make sure it happens, because freedom of speech is what we value.
I know, and we have so many of our rights being gotten rid of, that we just don't have the rights that we should have, that we've had all along. And I mean, they attack the Christian beliefs, they attacked the Constitution, they attack everything, and nobody's standing up with any, there's nothing that to be able to do. I'm just frustrated. I can't get the words out.
I know.
And even the cops, why are the police not acting like they're supposed to? They're supposed to be our protectors. They take an oath. Why would they not be in there taking care of her as she goes down there, instead of letting them do hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of vandalism in these times?
It's, you know, I can feel the intensity, and my stomach's getting tight listening to you, because I share your frustration. It's the attacks are against all things good, and there's nothing being done to stop the evil. And it's so disconcerting. It's so frustrating. And you and I are sitting here watching it, and we're speaking up, and you're right. Where are the police officers? Where is the law enforcement? And I'm going to share something with
you.
I was going to share this earlier.
Fresno. Go ahead. Same as Fresno, though.
Yes.
It's the same out there. They're doing nothing. The police aren't.
They're not.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, this is interesting that you called to talk about this, because I just found out today that the Berkeley mayor, his name is Jesse Aragon, he has been found out to be a member of the anti-fascist Facebook group that's called By Any Means Necessary, and the acronym is BAMN, BAM. That is the group that orchestrated the riots that occurred before Milo's trip to Berkeley.
Oh, my gosh.
The mayor. So what does that tell you about what's going on with law enforcement? Does that shed some light on maybe why law enforcement has stood down? I mean, I don't know, but I'm asking.
You know what? If Sessions takes away this money from the sanctuary cities, they're going to need this money for the police out there, and they're not going to be getting paid either if this is the case. Because if they what do they call it when they go against they want to take themselves out of the United States.
Deporting.
Yes, anyway, if they take some of this money away that these police stations are getting, maybe they'll realize that they're hurting themselves by doing these things. I'm not sure they're smart enough to do that.
It begs the question, are they? And
yeah.
That's the thing about the left is, you're talking about separating from the union?
Yeah.
Okay, yes. I'm trying to think of the word, too.
Me too. I just couldn't get it.
Yeah. It's insane. If they were to successfully do that, boy, that would be a game changer in America.
Can you imagine?
And you know what? I've lived long enough, as you have, to know that anything's possible. We can joke and scoff and say, oh, it'll never happen. But you and I both know anything can happen.
It could happen.
So,
and I'm much older than you, honey, so I know many things happen that I would have never thought would happen.
Well, that's why I'm so glad you called, to share your wisdom and your insight, Jerry.
So, oh,
I appreciate
forgive me for getting so upset and
not being able
to talk straight.
No, no, I feel it, and I'm so glad you called, because sometimes I get out here on the air and I'm all upset, and it's nice to know that you guys feel my pain. And
I do.
I think it empowers us to share that and get out there. We've got to stand up and talk. So.
And I just think people should call you more often.
Oh,
and
thanks,
have you
Jerry.
Made a decision? Are you going to hang in there? And
with the GOP, I have not departed from the GOP.
I have not.
I'm still frustrated.
I've been listening. I'm waiting.
And
breathlessly.
I've been realizing I need to address that. I'm still very frustrated. I'm back.
That's
and forth.
Okay. Take your time, honey.
Thanks,
Take
Jerry.
Time.
Thanks for calling.
All right. Have a good evening. All right. You too.
Bye-bye. All right, so we've got, the Berkeley mayor is a member of the anti-fascist groups. Do you think that might have something to do with why law enforcement stood down? I don't know. We'll talk more in a moment.
You're listening to The Michelle Morin Show on 740 KVOR.
Okay, give me a call at 719-540-0740. All right, I did my public service announcement. We are not living in safe times. The threat of Islamic terrorism is real. We will talk about it as we need to. Now, the O'Reilly thing has been eating away at my insides all week long. This has got to be talked about. And I know it's been talked about all week, but I'm going to throw in my perspective as a woman, because I think I might be able to say some things that my male colleagues probably can't as easily. So let's just get started. We just find out that now Sean Hannity's the next target. We knew that, though. We've got audio to prove that that was coming. So, all right. You probably have already heard. If you haven't heard, you've probably been in a coma. Bill O'Reilly got ousted of Fox News. And it's because the New York Times on April 1st, this is supposedly why. On April 1st, the New York Times came out with a story that said O'Reilly had settled multiple sexual harassment claims against him for a total of $13 million in settlements. And that was the beginning of the end. O'Reilly's done. Now, the story goes that O'Reilly was accused of sexual harassment, and that the advertisers for his show just peeled off like banana peels and decided they weren't coming back. So that all sounds really good on the surface, like, oh gosh. Well, let's talk about this a little bit. Let's open this up with the phrase sexual harassment. Sexual harassment. What is it, my friends? What do we actually consider to be sexual harassment? It sounds like if a guy gives me a wink, I have been sexually harassed. I have so much to say. It's hard to even know where to begin. What happened to O'Reilly I'm going to approach this from several angles. I'm going to approach this from the angle of being a woman and how I don't like certain things being said around me, about me, you know, things like that. I'm going to approach it from the angle of, as best I can, how a woman might become an opportunist with a guy who happens to have a lot of money. All right? And then I'm going to come at it from the angle of the legal battles. And I'm going to start with that one. Because really and truly, we know nothing about what really happened with these lawsuits. We've got the lawyer who filed the lawsuits. Her name is Lisa Bloom. She's the daughter of Gloria Allred. Does that name ring a bell? Gloria Allred is Hollywood, California. I mean, that's how I see her. I don't know where she lives. I think she's based out of California. She's got the big hair, the big makeup. She's always the lawyer going after someone on behalf of a woman. A woman's rights have been violated. She goes after them. She's a big money lawyer. Her daughter, Lisa Bloom, has brought these lawsuits against Bill O'Reilly. And first off, when you have, there's so much that's vague in this topic. First of all, the term sexual harassment. What is that? Well, we're going to dive into that because this has been bugging me all week. I couldn't take it anymore. And I sat down on Friday and I said, I'm going to go back. You know, when did this start coming out against Fox News about sexual harassment? So I went way back in the archives and I found the very first, quote unquote, victim of sexual harassment at Fox News. I'm going to go back and play for you some things that she said because it sets the stage for what's happening now. And it drives me crazy when you hear what she said she went through. I don't know. Maybe you're going to be sympathetic, but maybe like me, you're going to scoff and say, are you serious? Really? And you made $20 million off of this? So back to the legal part of it. Lawyers make their money two ways that I know of. Billable hours and lawsuit financial settlements. There's big money to be made with a settlement because they take their cut. So the more money they can settle, the better. I know firsthand, there are lawyers who are expert at creating chaos and conflict, manufactured chaos, just like the left. They're just another arm of the left in a different sphere. They're not creating chaos in, international affairs. They're not creating chaos on our universities. They're creating it in courtrooms across the country. And one of the reasons they create chaos and manufacture chaos right off the bat is because it creates billable hours. And the best type of chaos and conflict you can manufacture is the kind you can't prove or disprove. It's the he said, she said scenario where there's no evidence, but whoever cries the hardest in the courtroom and whoever can make the best victim story wins because it becomes a case of who has the most veracity in this case and who looks like the bigger jerk in this courtroom. And these lawyers know how to make the biggest jerk look like, a decent guy look like the biggest jerk. That's what they do. They perfect this. It's profitable. It's hugely profitable. And the longer they can keep the chaos going and keep the conflict going, the more billable hours they collect. So you've got that. And then you've got this guy with deep pockets, Bill O'Reilly. What does he make? Did he sign a contract for $25 million a year, Jason? All right. Bill O'Reilly just signed a contract, I guess 2 months ago, my producer tells me, that he was going to earn $25 million a year. That's a boatload of money. And for the opportunists out there, they want some of it. And the lawyers want it too. And guess what? Oh, O'Reilly is over on the conservative side of the spectrum. O'Reilly is the figurehead for Fox News. O'Reilly is a white male. Wow. This fits the agenda so well. the times that we're in, white males are evil. Sexual harassment is what anybody wants it to be, and there's a lot of money involved. It's the perfect recipe for a very profitable situation. I'm going to tell you more. We're going to hear more how this started, and we're going to find out what sexual harassment is or isn't, maybe, when we come back.
You're listening to The Michelle Morin Show on 740 KVOR. Depend on it.
All right. I'm Michelle. Call me at 719-540-0740. We are talking about the O'Reilly ousting and sexual harassment and this completely out of control attack against white men. I guess they don't have to be white, but men on the conservative side of the spectrum. And there's big bucks involved. So I was saying before the break, lawyers make their money from billable hours and settlements. And maybe they make it other ways too, but those are the two I know of. And in order to do that, they manufacture chaos just like the left. Why? Because the more chaos you can manufacture, the more hours you can bill to talk about it. And in the case of O'Reilly, all we know is that the New York Times came out on April 1st and said that multiple sexual harassment claims against O'Reilly had been settled for a total of $13 million. Here's how that works. It's a he said, she said situation. Am I saying that Bill O'Reilly didn't do anything inappropriate? No. Am I saying he did do something inappropriate? No. The fact of the matter is we have no evidence of anything. None. And what the lawyers will do, they'll send O'Reilly the filing. He'll get it. They'll meet him in a room and say, okay, Bill, we can settle this out of court or we can go to court. But just know that if you go to court, client X here is going to make sure that the whole world knows that you did this and you did this and you did this and you did this and you did this. And at that point, my friends, truth goes out the door. It could be birthed out of nowhere. And that's what they're threatening him with. They're threatening him with smearing him publicly with all these allegations. And whether or not he wins in that case really is immaterial because they know they can intimidate him out of going to court and they know they can intimidate him into settling because going to court carries so much more more burden on him as the defendant because he has to defend himself against detailed smears and he'll probably end up paying. So either way, it's best to settle. So he, you know, opted to settle in multiple lawsuits because, you know, if there were multiple suits, it gives more credence and it just confirms that he's guilty, right? If he settled, he must be guilty, right? Right? No, that's wrong. He may have settled to just get out of the situation. And once you are the target of these attacks, there's no winning. There is no winning. It is so skewed and so corrupted that sometimes, and if you know people who've been in the object of lawsuits like this that are based on political agendas, it doesn't matter. Going to court it costs you more money because you have to hire a lawyer to defend yourself, and your all these allegations are going to be put out on a table, and you are now going to be associated with these allegations. And unfortunately, they stick. They stick, and even the fact that he settled, that sticks. And what really disturbs me is I've looked high and low, far and wide, for actual evidence against Bill O'Reilly. I can't find any. I can't find any, so I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, what a jerk, what a sleaze. But there are people who, on both the left and the right, but the ones on the right just bother me the most, who are saying they're just assuming that he's guilty and saying that he was full of lust and all this, that, and the other. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. But we're going to fill the night with some audio clips tonight to try to, I want to show you what's really going on here. And we're going to go through it as efficiently as we can. I want to start with one very specific audio It's from Kirsten Powers, all right? She went on CNN this last week and spoke with, oh, what's that guy? Anderson Cooper. Anyone who wants to speak with Anderson Cooper has already lost credibility with me, my friends. The guy is a creep, all right? I have video to prove he's a creep on stage with Madonna doing gross things. And then you look at him on CNN and no, I would never be in an interview with him. But Kirsten Powers, who either, I don't think she's on Fox anymore. Maybe she is. Doesn't matter. She's been on Fox. Just listen to her talk about Bill O'Reilly. Remember, think about the phrase sexual harassment. What does that mean? Is it a little wink? Is it a rape? What is it? So let's hear what Kirsten has to say about Bill O'Reilly this week. And then I'm going to tell you what she said in 2014. All right?
Obviously, you used to work at Fox as a political analyst. You were on O'Reilly's program all the time. I'm wondering what your reaction is to today's announcement.
Well, I mean, I think that it's stunning because Bill O'Reilly was Fox News. He had so much power there, and it was sort of unthinkable that he would ever leave there except on his own terms. And I did his show regularly for a long time, and, you know, I was thinking about an incident that had happened early on in my career there where I was on air actually with Margaret Hoover, who's at CNN now, on a regular segment. We were on every Monday, and he got Margaret's name wrong, and Margaret said, "Hey, get my name right." And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, there's a lot of blondes in this operation. I can't keep you all straight." Megyn Kelly's coming up, starts throwing all these blonde names. And then at the end of the segment says, "Thank you for your blondness," to both of us.
Oh, my gosh. O'Reilly is a sexist and made fun of them for being blondes? Collective gasp. Is that sexual harassment? There's a difference, my friends, between being a sexist and saying demeaning things about the color of your hair or your gender and this vague term we're trying to define, sexual harassment, okay? That's just really someone who's just kind of being a jerk, all right? That's not sexual harassment. And let's hear what Kirsten did after he made a joke about blondes.
So I went to his executive producer and I said, he needs to apologize and he needs to never do that again, or I'm not doing his show anymore.
Oh,
and I was told basically, "Well, you know, Bill, there's nothing we can do about it. He's a throwback. He's kind of an Archie Bunker." And I said, if you mean he's a Neanderthal, then we're on the same page. He can never do that again. I'm a political analyst here.
Ooh.
Went to Bill, came back, said, "No, he's not going to apologize." So then I went to I was called into my boss's office. I was told, "What can we do? It's Bill. There's nothing we can do. You know, we're sorry this happened to you, but there's nothing we can do." I complained to Roger Ailes. I was told the same exact thing. "There's nothing we can do. It's Bill. He's a jerk. Nobody likes him." And then Roger said, "You know, Bill, he likes to put up dirty pictures and ask pretty girls to talk about them."
Oh, my.
And so the whole thing was...
Stop. All right. Where did that come from? Where did that come from? And is it even provable? I pardon my skepticism, but we went from Bill O'Reilly is making a pretty typical chauvinist, sexist comment about blondes. You know what? If you haven't, I'm sorry. There's no harm done. He's just being a jerk. That's not sexual harassment, Kirsten. It's not. And then you go talk to his boss, and supposedly his boss talks about how he shows dirty pictures. I just am having a hard time with this. Just throw that in there. That was your opportunity, Kirsten. Throw that in there. Whether he did it, whether Roger Ailes said, you see where it's going? It's all secondhand. Well, back in 2014, Kirsten defended Bill O'Reilly against being a sexist. She was defender. The State Department deputy spokeswoman at the time accused O'Reilly being sexist. And Kirsten said, "Sexism is a serious problem, but Bill O'Reilly is not a sexist." She wrote that in September 2014. But now that it's really popular to talk about sexual harassment and all kinds of money can be made, he called me a blonde. I think that's sexual harassment. All right, we're going to go. I told you, I dug into the archive to find out more about what's really going on here. We're going to talk more about that in just a moment.
You're listening to Michelle Morin on 740 KVOR.
All right, call me at 719-540-0740 to join the discussion about the targeted attacks using sexual harassment as the basis to oust a conservative, an entire conservative, formerly conservative media organization, Fox News. I will admit, they've been going, you know, leaning left a little bit more. But now it's the final, this is the final assault. They are trying to clean house, the left. And we just found out that now Sean Hannity's been accused of sexual harassment. And that was predicted. We're going to come back to O'Reilly in a minute. But this week on Morning Joe, big media MSNBC was discussing the O'Reilly ouster. And I want you to hear what they said. There are two clips here I want you to hear about. And listen closely, because this reveals the blood in the water and how all the leftist big media is just loving this.
Do they remake over the entire network? Is anybody else in the family's crosshairs right now?
I think you have to look at somebody like Sean Hannity and question whether or not his almost propaganda-like attitude and programming every night is going to be acceptable in the minds of the family, which.
Okay, that was New York Times reporter answering the question of Joe Scarborough. Do you know, is there anyone else in the crosshairs? Well, and did you hear him struggle? Like he really didn't know who he was going to say. Of course, it's Sean Hannity's next. And he tries to bring this back to is his propaganda-like attitude going to be acceptable in the minds of the family? Since when does big media leftists care one rat's patoot about what the family thinks is on air? They don't. And then, sure enough, a woman comes out today. I'm reading an article that was put out 5 hours ago. Hannity's being facing allegations of sexual harassment. And it was some woman who came on his show and... deep in the article here, the woman making the allegations, she gives this situation about how Sean Hannity tried to get her to go back with him to the hotel after the show. And she rejected the offer twice, and then she was not invited on any more Hannity programs. Do I believe that Hannity did that? I have no idea. I will tell you, I've met a lot of these folks on the conservative side of the in the public world, and I've met Sean Hannity. Hands down, he's the nicest guy in media that I've ever met. He is kind to every single person who approaches him. He jokes, he's fun, and I personally can't imagine him doing that. He seems to be pretty transparent. And that's my first impression of him. But, you know, anything can happen. But regardless, it's just, it was predicted. It's orchestrated. They went out and found somebody who could start the attack again and get rid of another conservative on Fox News. It's redefining and reshaping Fox News. It's done, my friends. Fox News is not what it was. I remember watching it, I think for the first time, 20 years ago, and just my jaw dropped. I was, really? There's news like this out there? This is interesting, and it's factual, and I, you know, nobody's tickling my ears. It's just, it's news, and it's not been that way for a while. It's pretty much, it's done. They've moved Juan Williams and Ma Beckel up to the primetime spots in The Five. Not a show I like. Kind of a funny side story. I went to the presidential debate in 2012 as a media person and walked around and got to see all the big media and everybody, the Diane Sawyers, I think Tom Brokaw. That's where I met Sean Hannity. And would you know, Juan Williams was the only guy there who had no one wanting to talk to him. It was very sad. But I've always wondered why he's on Fox News at all, because I don't even enjoy watching him on Fox News. But now he's going to be in prime time, and woo, big whoopee. So they're just the Murdochs have taken over. When Ailes got ousted, the Murdochs took over. The Murdochs are known to be leftists, and this is all just perfect timing for just changing the entire look and feel and political bias of Fox News into just another leftist outlet, which is very sad. But you know what? These things happen all the time, all throughout history. Good organizations, good universities, good churches. The left can't help itself. They come in and they want to destroy what's good. I'm not saying, I like it, but there comes a point where you have to realize this is kind of the natural pattern of things. And conservatives will come together and, you know, we'll get something else going. I'm sure that Bill O'Reilly is going to be fine. I'm sure it's not the way he wanted to exit Fox News, but he's a talented guy. He's going to pick up the pieces, and he may even be more successful for it. You never know. But back to Sean Hannity. He is now the one that's in the crosshairs, as predicted by MSNBC, as they're just frothing at the mouth over the next kill. And then later on that same show on MSNBC, I want you to listen to this. This is Mike Barnicle discussing more about Hannity and what's been going on. Just listen to this one and be prepared to roll your eyes.
Let me ask the both of you, as young women in this business, young women in any business, enduring what so many women endured at Fox. I mean, basically confronted with like a Bill Cosby at cable.
Oh,
on cable.
Stop the tapes. Wow. Talk about reframing, restaging, and changing the whole story. Now, Bill O'Reilly and Roger Ailes are equivalent to Bill Cosby, who drugged women to have sex with them? I have heard nothing of that about either of these two guys at Fox News. Again, I'm not saying they're not capable of it, but we have zero evidence that anything like that happened. But of course, MSNBC comes out and just lays it out there and how these women endured and what they endured. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about what these women endured. I dug through the archives. I said, where did this all start? There's momentum going here. That's now the nuclear explosion is happening, and there are casualties. Well, I found out that the first victim of sexual harassment at Fox News was Gretchen Carlson. And I went and listened to an interview that she had on ABC's 2020 back in September of 2016. Wow. The whole interview portrays Gretchen Carlson as this warrior for women who've been sexually harassed. And I want you to hear how Gretchen Carlson defines sexual harassment and how she, I'm just going to say it, she brings it on herself, she must need the attention, and then she finally learned how to make a good bit of money from it. And when you hear the audio, you can decide for yourself what she was doing. Now, I want to make it clear that, again, I have to walk carefully here because I know that there is, you know, in this whole spectrum of what is being coined sexual harassment, I think it could be anything from a wink to someone asking you out on a date to, I guess, rape. I mean, it's not real clearly defined, but as women, we have to understand some things about the world before we go out into the world. And if our mamas didn't tell us, I'll tell you. And if you're going to go to work at Fox News, do you not realize that the women at Fox News, every single one, wears a really short skirt or dress and their cleavage is showing in every shot? Okay? If you're going to go to work at Fox News, my friends, ladies, that's what's expected. And it clearly sells because Fox News was extremely successful. We're going to talk more about that, and we're going to hear the first gal who got this ball rolling, what she experienced to start this momentum.
You're listening to The Michelle Morin Show on 740 KVOR.
All right, call me at 719-540-0740. I'm here to tell you what big media wants. And we're going to deviate from the O'Reilly discussion for something interesting. Dove Soap has a new commercial, and the hashtag for the commercial is Real Moms. Let me set the stage for you. We're not going to play the entire commercial, but it's got cutesy music. And the context is, it's any of you moms out there, or even dads who, you know, have heard your wives talk, or your, you know, women talk about, you know, having babies in the house. And there's this, when you first have children, it's very hard to know how to raise them. So you start talking to other women and you say, well, you know, my idea of being a mom is yada, yada, yada. And my idea of being a mom is yada, yada, yada. So the whole context of this is a real cutesy, sweet commercial, complete with baby sounds and cute little music, and it's all about real moms. Let's just hear it.
Everybody has ideas about what it means to be a good mom, and most people feel like they have a license to tell you what they think it means to be a good mom.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm a first-time mom, and I'm just figuring it out as I go.
Oftentimes, a grandma, uncles, you know, great-grandmas, they want you to do it their way. But I have to be that woman that stands her ground.
We are both his biological parents. You get people that are like, what do you mean you're the mom? We're like, yep. We're both going to be moms.
Ah! What happened?
There's no one right way to do it all.
You are the only expert in your kid.
Oh, okay.
Believe in yourself.
All right. I just wanted you to hear that. Did you hear the real moms talking? Let me give you a clue. If you didn't catch the anomaly in the audio, one of them is a guy, all right? And it's the most bizarre, creepiest visual. So you heard the audio. The visual is this guy, and he's big. And he's got kind of the tousled mom, you know, the housewife mom hair. You know, she just hasn't had enough sleep because the baby's kept her up all night. And he's got the thick glasses on, and he's got the, you know, the house mom garb, and he's holding the baby. And yeah, we're both moms here. I mean, it is creepy, my friend. It's creepy. And the hashtag is Real Moms. So they're going along and they're just, you know, oh, yeah. The moms watching it, older moms, grandmoms, young moms, we can all relate. We're watching this going, yeah, there, people do try to tell you what it means to be a real mom. We've all had those conversations. And then here comes the guy. Oh, my gosh. So I hope that, you know what? I hope that actually made you laugh, because times are so... There's not even enough adjective to describe it. Times are so surreal right now. They're dangerous times. They're creepy times when we've got dads. Or no, not dads. No, 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 no. It was a real mom's hashtag. Sorry. Moms that are dad. Wait. Okay. Those are the times we're in. Anyway, it is funny. And I hope, I kind of hope, I don't know. Dove, what are you thinking? Everybody's jumping on the transgender bandwagon. I guess it's a real profitable scheme now. I think over time, and it's not going to take a lot of time, mainstream Americans, we don't like this stuff. Don't shove this creepy stuff down our throats. Don't do it, because I'm not really inclined to buy Dove products now. That's gross. Every time I see the Dove, and I do, I have a Dove body wash container in my bathroom. And every time I see it, I'm going to hear the guy who's a mom. So I don't think America's going to put up with this. I just, the left thinks they're so cool and so trendy because they are redefining truth. They are redefining reality at our shocked, gasping expense. But you know what? Our shocks and our gasps give way to disgust. You know, there's only so many times you can shock us and have it have its effect, and now we get disgusted. And we start laughing because it's so incredibly stupid. Who does that? Who does that? All right. I thought you might get a kick out of that. I did. In a weird New World kind of way. All right, back to Bill O'Reilly. Let's see. All right, I went and I found Gretchen Carlson in an interview in September 2016. She's the first person who called attention to Fox News and the whole sexual harassment debacle. And I'll give you a little bit of background. There's a lot of audio here, and I may have to cut it short because we are running out of time. I want you to hear how she describes what's happened to her and get an idea for how pathetic this is. She settled for $20 million and got Roger Ailes fired. Roger Ailes was the visionary. He was he was Fox News. Do I suspect that he was creepy? I have no idea. All I know is what Gretchen Carlson says, and this, my friends, is worth hearing. Let's hear. She's retelling on ABC's 2020. This is like an hour-long interview, and the woman interviewing her is so sympathetic. And you're a real warrior for women, aren't you, Gretchen? And Gretchen gets tears in her eyes and reads letters off from people who she's helped. And I'm not downplaying that, but I kind of am. Because I want you to hear what Gretchen went through. Let's play the first clip where she gets in the car with the first guy. So here's, she's recounting some of the many experiences she's had with sexual harassment.
During your reign as Miss America, when you were then seeking that TV job, you thought, okay, let me go meet with people and see how I get into this business, how I do it right. You actually had your first real encounter with sexual harassment. Tell me about that.
Okay. I did.
Get ready.
And it was a shocking experience because with this particular man, he spent most of the day helping me. He made a lot of phone calls for me, and I thought, wow, this guy's being so nice. And we went to dinner, and we were in the back seat of a car going to my college friend's apartment at the end of the evening. And before I knew it, he was on top of me, and his tongue was down my throat. And I was like, whoa, this wasn't part of the deal. And okay. I quickly got out of the...
Okay. All right. So she gets in the back seat of a car with a guy. This is years before Fox News. And get some context here. She won Miss America. I have no problem with pageants, but she's a bit of a ham. You can kind of tell. Nothing wrong with being a ham. I can relate to that. But she's, you know, just kind of set the stage here. She gets in the back seat of a car with a guy who's been really nice to her all day. And did she tell him we're not on a date? Was my question. I don't know. But she says he reached over and, you know, stuck his tongue down her throat. And it shocked her and exasperated her. That's sexual harassment. I don't know, Gretchen. If you get in the backseat of a car with a guy, you might be leading him on to think it's a date. And some guys are really, really dumb. And they think that they can lean over and give you a big kiss. And that's really cool to you. And that stuff happens. And I'm sorry, you know, if guys think that's the way to do it. It's not. But I can't call that sexual harassment. I think that was... You got in the backseat of a car with a guy and, you know, you didn't set some boundaries here. So, all right. Her second instance, listen to this.
We got out of the car and I was thinking, well, I'll never speak to him again.
Oh.
And I didn't.
Well,
sadly, she says it wouldn't be her only encounter.
And unfortunately, a couple of weeks later, the same thing happened to me again in Los Angeles with a very high-powered PR executive who is still a very high-powered PR executive.
Oh, my.
And again, we were in a car, and he took my head and my neck, and he shoved my face into his crotch so forcefully that I couldn't breathe.
Ah, turn it off. Turn it off. All right. I don't like what he did to her. If it's really happened, that's, you know, yeah. Again, if a guy thinks that's a way to have a second date, it's not going to happen. But, 2 weeks later, she gets in the backseat of a car with a guy again? Why? Did you not learn the first time you got in the backseat of a car with a guy and he gave you a big wet kiss and that was sexual harassment? So you do it again? And the offenses are more egregious than the last time. And she's laughing about it. Do we have time for the third thing that happened to her? All right. This is the next thing that happened to her. She's, I don't know, I can't remember where we edited it, but she's, now she's a TV star. She's on TV, and she's at a site where there's a cameraman and her, and they're doing the shooting of some kind of news event.
I think I had only been working maybe 3 to 6 months.
It was a photographer.
Oh, and
the music.
He put the microphone under my blouse. I still remember it was a blue blouse. Oh,
she considered it fairly routine until back in the news van, she says the cameraman began making sexually suggestive comments about her breasts.
He started asking me questions about how I felt when he had to touch my private parts. And I thought, whoa, this is not a safe conversation. This was before cell phones, and we were in a rural area. And I had the ability to go to a payphone to get help, but I didn't.
Oh,
why?
True victim, no cell phone.
Well, I'd only been in this job for a couple of months, and I didn't want to cause any waves.
Okay, stop, cut the tape. All right. What's wrong with this picture, my friends? This is what I would tell my kids. What's wrong with this picture? And I think you already know. Why are you letting a guy put a microphone up your shirt? All right? You've already been sexually harassed in the back seat of a car twice, and now you're letting the cameraman put the microphone up your shirt. Dumb, okay? And then you get in the car and you think, you know, have you not learned? Did your mother not tell you? You don't do those things. You say, no, thank you. I'll put the microphone on. Thank you very much. You set boundaries, my friends. You set them. And he would never have said what he said if you set the boundary. Do you think that Gretchen kind of invites these things? I hear the music. We're going to continue with Gretchen because this is important. This is what got the ball rolling against Fox. This is where the precedent was set. Gretchen settled for $20 million, my friends. I'm building the case for why this is so, so ludicrous and so targeted and, in many cases, I fear baseless.
You're listening to Michelle Morin on 740 KVOR.
Okay, I've taken a huge risk here, and Jason reminded me that I need to... I knew this going into the show. I knew I would take... As I talk about the ridiculousness of some of these sexual harassment claims, I'm taking the risk that I'm victim-blaming. And I am when it's warranted, and I'm not when it's not. But we just don't know. We don't know. It's he said, she said. We were talking, have I been sexually harassed, kind of the way Gretchen Carlson described? Yeah. You go on a date and, you know, when you're younger, those gross things happen. You don't let it happen again, though. Okay? You learn to set boundaries. For example, Sarah Palin was on, I think it was, is it Chuck Todd earlier this week? And she was being, no, Jake Tapper. She was talking to Jake Tapper, and he was really giving her questions. Well, were you sexually harassed at Fox News? And Sarah Palin made it very clear that something happened, but she wasn't going to say so. She said, "Why? Maybe you just need to ask Fox News about that." So CNN took their cue, and CNN went and did some homework, and they dug up three incidents about Sarah Palin. And I'm gonna tell you about them because Sarah Palin didn't make a big fuss about it. Sarah Palin just left. And she said her contract wasn't renewed. I don't know what was involved in that, but there's a way to handle these things, and there's a way not to. Apparently, Chris Wallace was talking to someone in 2010 about interviewing Sarah Palin, and Chris Wallace said, the guy asking him said, "Hey, Chris, when you interview Sarah Palin, will she be sitting on your lap? Ha, ha, ha." And Chris Wallace said, "One can only hope." Well, that's not cool. That would make me extremely uncomfortable. Even Tucker Carlson in 2011, he said something about Sarah Palin that in 2011, he said, "Palin's popularity is falling in Iowa, but maintains lead to become supreme commander in Milfistan." That's a really bad one. He deleted the tweet and apologized. And, you know, Roger Ailes said in 2011 why he brought Sarah Palin to the network, quote, "I hired Sarah Palin because she was hot and got ratings," unquote. You know, that stuff, as a woman, I don't like it. Remember when Trump, his undercover mic was just discovered, I just went ballistic. As a woman, guys, I don't like it. Do I consider it harassment? I consider it really jerk. And Sarah Palin came out earlier this week and said, you know, what you do is you address it at the time. You don't let it go on and on and on. And then 10 years later, you sue. And I agree with Sarah. You address it and you say, you know what? I don't like that. Don't do that. And it does chip away at a woman's security when you hear things like this. I need to say that. And when Gretchen was talking about what happened to her with the microphone and the guy, you know, here she is alone with this guy, no cell phone, no way to escape, and the guy starts getting sexually suggestive, it does make us women very uncomfortable and we feel threatened and our security is shot. I'm not sure why, you know, those things happen. I'm not sure what the motive is. But I'm saying all this because Jason said, you know, you might be doing a little bit of victim blaming, and I don't want to do that. But I do want to expose the opportunists who come in and make it a profitable endeavor and put, like what Gretchen, she puts herself in situation after situation after situation. Is she just dumb? Or did she perfect the art of putting herself in a situation where she can cry foul and then, ooh, there are deep pockets here. I'm going to make some money off of this. Her next clip that I'll share with you is just the one that she said about Roger Ailes. And go ahead and play that one. We don't have it. Okay. She said in the interview that what happened at Fox News was she went and saw Roger Ailes, and he said something, and I'm paraphrasing, like, you know, Gretchen, you and I should have had sex a long time ago. It would have, that can resolve matters like this pretty well. And she didn't like it, and she stood up to him, and he took her off of a highly rated morning show and put her on an afternoon show. And I guess she made a fuss about it again and got fired. And then she turned around and sued Roger Ailes for sexual harassment. Again, it's he said, she said. We don't know what really happened. But it bugs me that Gretchen Carlson, she's touted as this conservative Christian, family values kind of a woman. And she puts herself, by her own admission, she puts herself in situations that, at least after the first time, she should have known better the second time. She gets harassed in a car with a guy, and then 2 weeks later, lets it happen again, puts herself in the same exact situation, and she's griping about, you know, sexual harassment, and now she's this warrior? You know, I teach my kids, I've got three daughters, I teach them about this stuff so that they don't put themselves in these situations. I'm trying to teach my kids, if you're in a situation like that, here's what you can do. But don't go around crying victim. Do not go around crying victim. And when the MSNBC guy said that this was a Bill Cosby situation, no one has said anything of that. No one who's come forward in all of the, you know, the lawsuits against O'Reilly, against Roger Ailes, and now against Sean Hannity, not a single one has said, yeah, he drugged me to rape me. That, my friends, is... that's unconscionable. And that is not a woman's fault at all. That needs to be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. So my point here is this bandwagon, Gretchen Carlson seems to have gotten it started. Now, you know, you make $20 million and her story is so lightweight when it seems like she should have known better. Her story's lightweight. What are the women around going to do? What are the lawyers going to say? She created an opportunity for what has been happening in the last week to O'Reilly and now to Sean Hannity. She created a ripe situation for all of that to happen. I'm not blaming Gretchen Carlson. I'm just trying to show you, my listeners, where this came from and how this has become, number one, an opportunity to make a lot of money. Number two, an opportunity to target conservatives and a hugely successful media corporation that used to represent fair and balanced quite well and to finish it off. And number three, to fuel the hatred of men and the misogyny going on in our culture. National Organization for Women President Terry O'Neill She said this week, this isn't over. The public has the right to know the facts about the toxic culture of harassment that appears to be endemic at the network. So they're just going to go pick them off one by one by one by one. That's not the only comment. There's another group that organized a protest of the O'Reilly Factor program. The group's called Ultraviolet. They're not done. O'Reilly's not good enough. They took the figurehead down. They said they're going to continue to place pressure on the network. And, you know, they make it sound just so oppressive. Fox News' problem with sexual harassment and assault is way bigger than just Bill O'Reilly, they say. And the racial justice group Color of Change. Why is a racial justice group Color of Changing on this? They say they were instrumental in getting advertisers to pull ads from his show. I have a question. All this uproar about sexual harassment, all the money that's being made, you know what really bugs me? We've got Sharia going on all over the world, and even in our country we hear about some of it, and big media is just not telling us about all of it. Women are truly being sexually harassed, sexually mutilated, and murdered and beaten and stoned to death just because they're women. Let's get some perspective here, my American women friends. Really and truly, wise up, and guys, be gentlemen, you know, and unfortunately, this is not going to stop for the moment. This is Michelle Moran on AM 740 KVOR. I hope you have a wonderful week. I'll be back here next Sunday at 9 p.m., and I'll talk to you then.
With Colorado's radio leader for local news, 740 KVOR, HD1, Colorado Springs, Pueblo, a Cumulus station.
The news never stops.
The burn scar has not recovered. I mean, it will take many years.
Stay in touch with what's happening in Colorado Springs.
You name it, I find it, and I pick up what I can when I come out here.
I hope that it's a win for Colorado Springs.
Get the latest news every 30 minutes.
KVOR Colorado Springs Morning News with Jim Arthur, Charlie Stone, and the international resources of CBS News. AM 740 and KVOR.com.